love you. And I love all of you in this room. I'm excited to be here tonight. Before I start, I want to thank my life group, Women with Purpose, who prepared the meal tonight. So I want to thank them. I don't know about you, but it was awesome to me. Spaghetti is my favorite thing. So, ladies, tonight, I believe, as Pastor Kathy has already shared, fearless is the reign, is what we're focused on for sisterhood this year. I believe it is our call to action in 2020 to be fearless. You know, PG has been talking about the P's and preparation and being prepared. So as I was listening to PG's messages about the P's, and we talked about this being a season of being fearless, on the Sunday that PG did the message on prayer, for those of you that may not have been there, he asked us to sit aside. I think he gave us about 15, 20 minutes to just pray and seek the Lord for ourselves. It was at that service that I prayed and I said, Lord, please give me a message for sisterhood. I am the first speaker up this year, Lord, and I want a message that you want the ladies of New City Church to hear. I want it to be a message that is foundational. So, Lord, I just opened my heart as I sat there and prayed. Take me to the scripture that you want me, the scriptures, wherever you want to take me, Lord, take me to that place. And as I sat there, it was like nanoseconds. He said, Acts chapter 2. And those of you who know me, I keep it real. So I sat there and I thought, Acts chapter 2. Okay, so I wrote it down. I went home, I read Acts chapter 2, and I'm a little slow. So, honestly, I'm a little slow. I read Acts chapter 2, and I said, Lord, I heard you, and I am obedient. So I am going to talk about Acts chapter 2, but I need some help, Lord. I need some help. Can I get you to just work on me, download your message in me, and help me do what you want me to do with Acts chapter 2. So, ladies, tonight I'm bringing it based on that. So, and I got to pay attention to time. I give PG a hard time because I think he preaches too long. Well, so now it's my turn. First, I want to start with NCC is about equipping the people of God for the works of service. So that the body of Christ can be built up. That is our mission. So I believe sisterhood is yet another opportunity for equipping the sisters so that the body of Christ can be built up. Tonight, as sisterhood, we start on our journey. The Lord wants us to grasp, to really, really grasp what living fearlessly means for us at an individual level. So I looked up fearless. Fearless means without fear, bold or brave, confident, courageous, gusty, and assured. So tonight is about preparing our hearts to walk in that boldness, to walk in that assurance, to be brave, to be confident. So I prayed, I read, I prayed, I wrote the message, and just yesterday, this is how our Lord works. Gilbert and I were in Virginia helping to install a new pastor at a church, and I got up yesterday morning, I was like, Lord, sisterhood's tomorrow, and it has not quite come together for me. So I need today, hopefully through a message, just through the traveling, please help me to put the clincher on the message. And so I prayed, and then Gilbert and I were at the airport yesterday, and I said, I'm still seeking the Lord, asking him for the clincher on why Acts 2. Gilbert looked at me. He said, Acts 2 is about Peter. Peter went from being fearful to fearless, just like that. Acts 2 is about Peter going from fearless, from fearful to fear. And that is exactly what this message is about tonight. Acts 2 is a story reflecting, in Acts 2 written by Paul, is reflecting the fearless Peter. What happened to fearful Peter? You know, Peter is the one that was one of the disciples that followed Jesus, and he was the one that denied him, not once, not twice, but three times. Think about that, ladies, for us, that how many times have we denied Christ in our walk? But God never gave up on Peter. So Peter unloads for us in Acts chapter 2. So we see fearless Peter filled with the Holy Spirit and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how did the shift occur for Peter? He got the full visual of the resurrected Jesus Christ. He saw it. He saw what it took when they came and arrested Jesus. He saw the trial, the struggle, the hanging of the cross. He saw it all. As a result of that, his love for Jesus overwhelmed him. It just overwhelmed him. The circumstances in Acts 2 are still the same, but it's different because of his overwhelming love for Jesus. The Jews were still killing people that believed in the way, those that followed Jesus. We're talking about the same Peter that denied him, but now this is after the resurrection. He is overwhelmed by the love for Jesus. He received the promise of the Holy Spirit. And after receiving the Holy Spirit, he started preaching the most powerful sermons, the richest sermons, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we read Acts 2, we're going to read a lot of it. I want you to put yourselves in Peter's shoes. We are Peter tonight. And I want us to leave here tonight with a new perspective, a new heart on seeing ourselves as Peter and how we can move from fearful to fearless. So let's pray. Lord, I pray tonight that you will illuminate our minds and hearts, Lord. Fill our minds, fill our hearts to grow more fearless. Allow us to leave here tonight, Lord. Lord, just renewed hearts. Work on our hearts, Lord. I ask you to do heart surgery tonight on the women of New City Church, Lord. I want us to leave here walking, Lord, and not just walking, Lord, but believing that your Holy Spirit works in us just like it worked in Peter, Father God. No holding back, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to just cut loose in our hearts, Lord. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. So I'm going to start. I'm reading from the King James Version. King James Version. Acts 2, 1 through 4. It reads, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Can you imagine? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I looked up the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And when I looked up the word Holy Spirit, it is derived from the Greek word dunamis. Say dunamis. Dunamis. The English word dynamite comes from this word, but it does not adequately reflect the original meaning. Dynamite destroys, but dunamis gives life. Let me say that again. Dynamite destroys, but dunamis gives life. The word dynamic, meaning active, energizing, and vitalizing, is also a derivative of the word. I like the word dynamic. However, let's go deeper into dunamis. Dunamis means power, force, or ability with the implication of a miracle or divine influence. How many of you want some divine influence in your life? So I want you to remember that it means power, force, divine influence. That's what the Holy Spirit means. The day of Pentecost is symbolic of the Holy Spirit empowering the church to witness. We are the church, and we're called to witness. For the Jews, it was symbolic of giving the law. So what did the Holy Spirit do for the church? Operating by the power of the Holy Spirit, the church, as Christ's witness, was and still is today to take the gospel out to the ends of the earth. God planned the Holy Spirit. He planned for believers to have it. He planned for all of us to have the Holy Spirit. He said that when we got the Holy Spirit, it will come to empower us. It would empower us as believers. And Jesus, one of his last promises before dying on the cross was, he said his plan was to give the apostles the helper. Think about that. That was the last thing he would say. It's going to come. Hold on. So, ladies, I went and looked up, well, what were some of those promises regarding the Holy Spirit? Since that was one of the last things on Jesus' mind to tell the apostles to hold up, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. So I looked up some in John 14, 16 through 17. Jesus not only promised, but prayed for us a helper that will abide in us forever. John 16, 7, 8, and verse 13, Jesus tells us, it's to our advantage that he go away. For if he did not go away, the helper would not come to us. Romans 8, this is the one about fear. Paul says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So tonight, I'm going to talk about what I believe is the foundation for us walking fearless. So, PK, if you can put the slide up. I have to thank Pastor Sean for drawing my slide. It was like I asked the Lord to show me a picture to how to articulate what you want us to understand about our hearts and the Holy Spirit. And the three messages that the overall message is, I'm fearless, I'm empowered. He wants us to leave here not wishing we have the Holy Spirit, not wanting to have the Holy Spirit. He wants us to leave here believing I have the Holy Spirit. And in order to have it, there are two things that have to happen before. The first one is we must accept Christ in our hearts. And when we accept Christ, we believe in God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And we got to operate in faith. And I'm going to say more about the eyes, but look at those eyes and look at the spelling of the heart and the vibrations of the heart. We'll get into that later, so leave that slide up. But tonight, this is the month of February. It's no coincidence that we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the heart. So what does the helper, the Holy Spirit, dunamis, divine influence do for us? What does it do for us? The Holy Spirit gives us the capacity to see what's happening and what's to come. So when you think about when you get the power of the Holy Spirit, you see supernaturally. As we walk with Christ, the Holy Spirit teaches us and stretches us so we can grow in our human capacity to receive and understand what God is saying to us today in our walk. It's beyond the flesh. It's giving us growth and capacity to receive and understand. The Holy Spirit enables us to endure and have faith no matter what the circumstances are. The Holy Spirit's power is necessary to do kingdom work, which is why he said to the apostles, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. We're going to need the Holy Spirit to do kingdom work. The Holy Spirit elevates our prayers, leading us to ask for things God desires for us to accomplish, not what we want to accomplish. He's taking us to a new level in him. It's what he wants to accomplish in our circumstances. The Holy Spirit helps us to discern truth from lies. How many of you want that? You want it to just come naturally. He wants to equip our heart. So when I look at the heart, look at the word heart up there. When I think about the heart, the word heart, we see that Christ is in us. It starts with he. See that word, he? Christ is in us. When he thought about creating that heart, he didn't just write the word heart, and he didn't create, he thought about what he meant in it. In the word heart, Christ hears me. You see the ear in the middle. Christ hears me. My heart, he created my heart. He's an artist. You see the word art in there. My heart is his heart. You see the T at the end. His heart, he has allowed us to have the truth in there. When we got all of that going on, that Christ is in my heart, he created it, he's got ears, he hears my heart, he gives me perspective, he gives me eyes to see beyond what's in the natural, all that's going on, I don't know, that makes my heart quiver. It makes my heart quiver. It makes me say, bring it on, Lord, give me that power. So, ladies, I want you, as we leave here, knowing what Peter did in Acts 2, and we're going to read the rest of Acts 2, verses 14 through 42 in a minute, I want us to really get a visual of our heart. Not in the natural, but the visual of now that we've accepted Christ in it and we have the Holy Spirit, oh my gosh, it's unlimited in terms of what we can do and how we should be walking when it comes to being fearless. So I'm going to read Acts 2, 14 through 42. And this is Peter's sermon. Remember the fearful Peter. This is now the fearless Peter. This man has punch in this sermon. So I'm going to try and read it with some expression so you'll hear the power. 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. He's saying, those who have ears, let them hear. For these are not drunk. They thought, you know, the people were drunk speaking all the other languages. He said, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, early in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Old Testament, Joel was telling it then. Now it's coming to life. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Pour it on, Lord. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven and above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Well, Victoria's prophesying over there. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The whoever is us, ladies. Men of Israel, hear these words. Ladies of New City Church, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Then he goes on and talk about David. So he's in the Old Testament, and I'm going to talk to you more about Old Testament, New Testament here. He says, David says concerning him, this is verse 25, for I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow the Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. Let me say that again. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he will raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Promises. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool. A footstool. Now, I'm skipping down to verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Let's go back to the heart. This sermon is impacting their hearts now. They've heard what Joel prophesied and what David prophesied. They've seen the fire and the wind come down. They heard all of the languages and all, and Peter is all up in their face. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, so what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And going down to verse 40, and with many other words, he testified in exhorting them, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So Luke tells this story, and in this story, the word of God in the form of Jesus is acting out in the Holy Spirit. You remember we said Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit here is Jesus. So that's how powerful that is. Sometimes we can connect with Jesus before we can connect with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but it was easier for me as I was learning to connect with Jesus. But here in Acts 2, God's wanting us to really understand it's the three in one. And he is saying the Holy Spirit, when you get Jesus in, you have that extra power. And he wants us to know that we need that Holy Spirit to do what he's called us to do on this earth today for the time that we are in. The Holy Spirit helped the churches, because by the end of this chapter, it exploded to 3,000 members. They couldn't have done that. Think about, they were killing people who were following the way. But 3,000 people, think about you. Remember, you're Peter. God's given us the Holy Spirit. What can we explode? What can we do once we have the power in us? I don't want us to just look at this. It's not about me. Look, forgive me, Lord. God does not want us to look at this as a story. He wants us to look at this as we have the same power that he gave Peter. And we are a church. The mission of the Christian church, as was the ministry of Jesus, is dependent on the Holy Spirit. He wants us to operate by that Spirit. We are the Peters of today, no longer cowards. We are magnets attracting people to the Word of God. That's what Lord wants us to do. When Peter became a magnet, 3,000 people started following him just like that. So how do we move? How does the Holy Spirit move us from fear to fearless? We are filled with God's Spirit the moment we accept Christ. That's the start as our personal service. As we grow in our Christian walk, we learn more about God's ways, his character, his presence within us through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is not vague. It is not a mist as those people saw in the upper room. The Holy Spirit is a living person. He's the giver of gifts. And as a result of the Holy Spirit, the more about him we know, love, and obey, the more we learn to live our life with less fear. In the old covenant, the Spirit rested on a nation, Israel, and it rested on prophets, Moses, Abraham. But in the New Testament, just like Peter, we get to have the power through our personal relationship with Christ. So I want to say, if there's anybody in this room that does not believe they have the Holy Spirit, and for us, it is oftentimes shown as manifested by speaking in tongues. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You have it once you've accepted Christ. But we believe in you having that manifestation, operating at the higher level of power through speaking of tongues. We're going to open up the altars for prayer. A few more points I want to talk about when we talk about believing in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The key word is belief. In Peter's sermon in Acts 2, Peter did 30 sermons in the book of Acts. He explains what happened at Pentecost. He set the record straight about telling them that the people weren't drunk. The key word he says is the Holy Spirit himself is given to all believers. So we got to believe. We have to have faith. Why do we have to have faith? Faith is the evidence of the things hoped for but not yet received. Peter's warnings still apply today. He says, let them who have ears hear. He said it's about preparing our hearts, knowing the power that we have. He says, the Lord has made known to us the path to life. So he wants us to believe that, have faith in that. And in summary, I'm just going to highlight some points the Lord put on my heart. The Lord wants us to be like Peter, to move from fearful to fearless. He wants us to be cut to our heart. He doesn't want us to be walking around in unbelief. He wants us to know that we know that we know that we know that we have the power. We have as much power and maybe more than Peter, depending on what the Lord has called us to do. But we got to first believe it and receive it. So I ask us and think about this. So what are we giving our power to that keeps us from operating in a fearless manner? So think about that. So what are we? Peter was afraid of being killed. He didn't want them to know. But I ask us, we say we believe. We're comfortable. We don't have anybody running us over, running us down. So what are we giving power to that counter God's chosen path for us to be fearless? How many sermons do we have to hear? How many songs do we have to hear? We do not need to walk in fear. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit when we accepted Jesus in our heart. The Holy Spirit makes us able to accomplish every good work he's called us to do. God never made us to be sufficient within ourselves. He made us to be adequate in him. Which is why it's so important that we always put our trust and obey that initial prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's why I have that quiver on that heart. You know when fear is leading you or faith is leading you. You know it. Your heart tells you. So I want you to see your heart quivering. And when your heart quivers, this is about you saying, I am empowered. I'm walking fearless. God has sent messengers to every generation. I'm just another messenger. He's spoken urgently and faithfully through prophets, teachers, preachers, evangelists. Today, we must trust the moving and leading of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. I want to close with a quote, and I just heard this yesterday, and I thought it was powerful. Listen, why fear an unknown future when you can trust a known God? Why fear an unknown future when you can trust a known God? That's by Corrie Ten Boom. So I just thought I want to close with that, and I want to say a prayer to close it out, and then we're going to open the altars up. For anybody that wants to receive the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to ask prayer warriors to come up and lay hands on people, and then we'll do some praise. So, Lord, I just ask you, Lord, as I close out this message about the Holy Spirit, Lord, I just ask you, like, Lord, tonight to enable us to see life from your eternal perspective, Lord. Allow the eyes and the ears of our hearts to hear and do only what you have for us to do, Lord. Let us have hearts that not only hear, Lord, but see, Lord. Teach us to gaze at you through the eyes of our hearts, Lord, so that we can see the world around us from your perspective, Lord, and not our perspective. Thank you for the hope that we found in Christ. Thank you for giving meaning and purpose for our lives. Help us, Lord, to be conscious of your presence in our lives from day to day, Lord. Lord, I just ask you right now to just do a special work in the hearts of the women in this room tonight, Lord. I ask your Holy Spirit to just rise up in them, Lord, and take them to that new level of faith, Lord, that you have desired for them. Let them not look to the left or to the right, but to look to you, Father God, in all things. So Holy Spirit, come, and have your way in our hearts tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to open up. We're going to have some prayer warriors up here. For those of you that just want prayer and specific prayer about receiving the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we want you to leave out of here with that freedom. And I encourage you, when you leave here tonight, to just know, not wonder, but know that you do have the power to walk fearlessly. Amen.